Well, how's your hearing? Because the Symphony of Summer is well underway. You can hear lawnmowers droning. Maybe you're cutting the lawn and it's rather loud. Kids at the park near you shrieking outdoor concerts. Or else a motorcycle revving up. Summer delights often reach through our ears. And sometimes it can be damaging to hear. My next guest, though, would like you to ensure that your hearing isn't an afterthought and do something about it. She's Candace Fisher from Fisher Hearing over at the Osler Medical Center. And I wanted Candace to come in here because she's got some great advice here for those who might have a loved one who you think, man, their hearing's getting worse. What can I do to help them here? Hey, Candace, welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg.
I think we should start first with a little lesson on how your ear gets damaged. What happens exactly if exposed to loud sounds?
Great question. So with loud noise, what happens? Typically, sound is just pressure. A little bit of pressure comes in like speech, gets everything vibrating. There's tiny little hairs in the ear. That sends the sound up to the brain. Everything's great. When you have something too loud, like if you were using, say, a jackhammer, for example, instead of that gentle vibration, it's just going through like a tornado. And those tiny little nerves just can't handle it. And they bend and they break. And unfortunately, with inner ear cells, they don't regenerate. So once we've done that damage from noise, it's permanent.
You suggest we've got to be careful in the summer. So what sort of examples can you give us about summer sounds that are too harsh on ears?
There's so many of them. You think of even somebody that you can't wait to get your motorcycle out, for example. So if you're driving to work and it's 20 minutes, you know you're going to be fine. Motorcycle runs about 97 decibels. So your safe zone or safe duration would be approximately 30 minutes. So to work, and then you drive home 8 hours, 9 hours later, that's fine. No problem at all. An 8 hour drive, say driving to go for a holiday or something like that, that's a lot of noise over that 8 hours. Leaf blower, that changes a whole bunch. That's 109 decibels. So you can cause damage in under 2 minutes if you're not protecting those ears.
I just had the shop vac out last weekend, and I thought to myself, man, that is loud when I was inside the cab of the truck vacuuming.
That's another problem. You're probably not doing that for 2 minutes, right? Probably 15 minutes. So you just have to be conscious of the fact that anything that you're around that's noisy can cause damage.
What are we supposed to do?
Awareness is the key. Think of it, if it's loud, that you're just a little bit of a distance away. Think of how long you're doing. If you're on the motorcycle, like we said, for 8 hours, that's very different than being on something for 2 hours. So you just have to be conscious of what kind of noise.
Okay, and what about going to concert festivals?
Wear your earplugs. Don't dance on the speaker. It's okay to go to concerts. We all do it. Just protect yourself. Open air, that's a little bit safer than, of course, in a dance club or something like that, but it still causes damage. So wear your earplugs. There's great stuff out there.
She's Candace Fisher. She's my hearing expert, and I know this from firsthand, and I know you do too, Candace. The link between hearing loss. If I experienced it firsthand watching my mom before she passed, too stubborn to get a hearing aid. It affects her cognitive decline, but also socially, inevitably, my mom passed from Alzheimer's. When you talk about hearing loss, that's about as serious as you can get right there.
This has become such a common question and such a common refrain. There has been so many research studies done on the link between hearing and cognition or cognitive decline. A lead researcher, Dr. Franklin, he says even a mild hearing loss doubles the dementia risk. A moderate loss can triple a risk. And somebody with severe hearing loss that's untreated, 5 times more likely to develop dementia. And it's not just that. It's also, if you think of people with hearing loss, they become very withdrawn. Hearing loss is very isolated. That's a terrible thing, right? It's healthy. It's good for the brain to be stimulated. And part of that is being socially active.
Candace, that might be the most important information you shared in this conversation. I can't tell you how many people I know that are probably listening right now and thinking, that's what I see or hear in my parents or my aunt or uncle or even in themselves. You will lose social connection if you don't get your hearing checked. How often should you get your hearing checked?
You know, we used to say by the time you're 50, you should at least be getting that baseline. It gives us something to compare back to. Just like your blood pressure, you should know where your hearing is. And then you're aware of changes. So if you're finding that, oh, I think it's dropped, you come in again. Don't wait 2 years. Don't wait 5 years. There's really no age to be tested. If you think you're having trouble hearing, very, very important. Get it checked. Once hearing loss is identified, I typically say at least a reevaluation within every 2 years, just so we can monitor.
Okay, Candace Fisher is here. I wanted to know, too, how accurate are those loudness warnings on our Apple Watches? Is that a good idea to have on your wrist?
100%. 100%. If you're someone you think it's loud, there's so many, if you look at your app stores, there's, you know, how many different sound level meters. They're a great idea. They're not going to be bang on. They're not calibrated, but they're going to be close enough. If, you know, if it says it's 102, that's loud. That's really loud. You should be thinking about that.
From Fisher Hearing over in the Osler Medical Center, it's Candace Fisher. I wish I had more time, but I think you've educated us a lot here this morning, Candace. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Coming up 10 o'clock here at 7:53. I like the way NFL superstar, two-time Super Bowl champion Deion Sanders is handling his latest health scare.
Deion Sanders is going to score! My God!
He's pretty forthcoming. The former NFLer and college football coach, now Deion Sanders, revealing his a quiet battle with an aggressive bladder cancer. He got pretty emotional yesterday when he went public with it, describing how he discovered the diagnosis and that it was an aggressive form of bladder cancer. Just 3 months ago, he caught it.
No symptoms, no nothing, healthy. Going in there to look at something else, you find something else. Bless me with this wonderful doctor that is better at her game than I was at mine.
Sanders now considered cured. He was treated at the same university where he actually coaches football, and following the surgery to remove the cancer and his bladder, he said he's beyond grateful to be alive and had a message for everyone listening.
God is so good. You have no idea. You have no idea. Men, everybody, get checked out. Get checked out. Because it could have been a whole another gathering if I had.
Deion Sanders, he'll be 58 next month, and I don't know, I like it. It takes a lot to step up and say, you know what, this happened to me, and spread the message that just may someone else's save someone else's life. I kind of like it when stars do that. In just a few days, another star from the music world, Chappell Roan, who teased us last week with a song that she's coming out called The Subway. And it was all the rage here in our province because it references Saskatchewan, and even the video teaser with it showed her in a moving van moving to Saskatchewan.
I made a promise that 4 months is feeling and gone off this city. I'm moving to Saskatchewan.
So now the update to that is that that song, which is actually called The Subway, is going to come out officially on Friday. And she has said in a past interview after performing that song only once about a year ago, that, you know what, she might have to go to Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. I was like, it's in one of my new songs that hasn't come out yet. It's called The Subway. I was looking up at venues there to try to play a show there. I owe it to them. I can't sing a song about Saskatchewan and not go there and play a show.
Yeah, I certainly hope the Rail District was listening to that. Well, if your kids have been dreaming the last few weeks about the Queen City X, it's almost here. Tomorrow, it opens up at the Rail District. If you're just passing on the Louvain, you can probably look over there and see them setting up the rides. Man, when we were kids, our summer was spent mostly out of the cabin at Echo Lake. And leading up to the fair, one of our jobs was to collect all the empties, the beer cans from all the cabin guests we'd had over through the summer. Because whatever beer cans and pop cans, bottles we could collect, that's what my brothers and I use for cash at the fair. So yes, as a child, I encouraged all grown-ups visiting the lake to pop a top. I saw it just as more money for me. Anyhow, then to actually get to the fair and be able to run wild through the Midway, running to the USS Enterprise, I'll always remember that. That was one of my favorite rides. You know, it looks like the Ferris wheel when it's upright, but you actually load into the ride when it's down flat on the ground and it's still moving slowly. You had to jump into one of those gondolas. Hope you didn't screw that part up. And once you got in, buckle up because it's going to spin around faster and faster. And then the whole wheel would rise upwards. And it's a combination of spinning, swinging, and kind of like a sense of weightlessness, right? USS Enterprise. One of my faves. If you want a deal or you have kids, make sure you check out the all-day ride pass, which includes gate admission. They're discounted at $55 at co-ops today. This is the last day, though, for that. This year's Midway is going to be different. West Coast Amusements, who have served, I believe, Moose Jaw's hometown fair a number of years. You've seen them popping up in parking lots around the city, of malls now and then over the years. It's a Canadian company, very reputable. They're very clean, I've been told. They've been around many years. They're not the same level as North American Midway, who we've been spoiled with for a number of years now. I would say over 20, but maybe even longer, because North American Midway actually bought Conklin shows. Some of you have been around long enough to recall them. North American in previous years would serve Calgary, the Stampede. They did it again this year. Edmonton, K-Days, they did it again. And then they would always wind through Regina and then on to Saskatoon. But I don't know the real story, and I don't think it really matters now, but perhaps someone dropped the ball in the relationship over at the Real District with North American. They chose to skip Regina, head to Saskatoon, where they plant themselves this Thursday, if you're going that way. I'm not knocking West Coast Amusements, by the way. They're a much smaller operation than North American, so this is definitely going to be one that people want to witness, right? I've heard West Coast has called upon all the resources, possibly to put together a Midway that will fill the same footprint as we've seen so many years previously. In fact, Kathleen Becker from the Queen City X told me recently on the topic that, hey, this fair is going to be as big as you'd hope.
So we have the same number of rides. The assortment of rides, of course, is a little bit different because West Coast doesn't have the exact same rides as our previous provider. But they've already invested a couple $1 million in adding to their inventory, and they're on the wait list for more rides. So they are fully invested in growing with us. Year two, year three, year four.
So this is going to be a long-term deal?
Long-term deal. I mean, we are fully invested. West Coast is going to be along for the ride with us. I think it's just going to continue getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
So there you have it. Even if you don't ride the rides, though, I know many of you love going to the fair and have memories of the Midway that you grew up with, right? I have tons of memories having grown up here in Regina. My older brothers, I remember they used to hop on their bikes and rip over. I grew up in Rosemont, nearby train tracks at the CN tracks there, and they would whip over to see the Royal American Midway flatbed trains. Yeah, rides way back in the day came in on the train. In fact, I can remember as a little kid, the routine was always this. Mom and Dad pile us all into the station wagon. We head to Wascana Park on Pile of Bones Sunday, right? Had a blast. Stay for the fireworks. Then Dad would drive us past the fairgrounds to catch a glimpse of them setting up the rides. And then we'd go to bed just like super excited because the next day we were off to the fair. Well, I thought we'd go off to the farm here this morning because it is the backbone of Saskatchewan. And I like to share farming stories like this one because it's just a good reminder of everyone putting in so much hard work and then to see it spoiled by some donkey driving an ATV or side-by-side through their crops. Not exactly what you want to have happen, but it has to the Gurney Farm. And joining me now is Aaron Gurney. And Aaron, thanks for joining me to tell your story. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You and your husband, also named Aaron, I might add, farm whereabouts?
We farm just like in and around the Tantallon area. So we are straight south of the K2 potash mine. We have land in the Quapaw Valley and on top of the Quapaw Valley. And
yeah. And now that I know where you farm, what do you farm? Is it mostly crops or do you have cattle too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we farm grain farm. So we have canola and wheat, and this year we have a bit of peas, and we run about 120 cows.
Wow, you are busy on the farm. So thanks for taking a minute or two with me now. So recently you were out checking the fields and got a little discouraged from what you saw. So what happened?
So my in-laws actually were just on a tour, just checking our crops, and they happened to drive down the rail bed and they noticed that trail across our pea field in the valley there. So snapped a picture and sent it to my husband, and definitely discouraging.
Yeah, and really flattened it. So has anyone reported seeing anything, or have you caught whoever did it?
Not really. Just trying to spread the word out that, there, hey, like, don't do it.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like someone really didn't use any common sense. So getting frustrated by this, destroying your crops. And if someone else sees that, look, a trail has been created, you're probably a little concerned. Yeah. Someone else might do the same, right?
That's exactly right. That's the first thing Aaron said is, like, the trail comes right off of the Valley Road and there is an approach there, but not like a trail. So yeah, if somebody else sees that, they'll be like, oh, there's already a trail here. And the rail bed is just across that field. So obviously trying to get to the rail bed.
So what do you want to say to anyone out there that has an ATV or side by side when you want to go out and rip around? What would you suggest to them?
Yeah, just be respectful. Like, that's people's livelihood out there, and it might not seem like you're doing much damage, but that's like hard work every day that goes into those fields. And just using common sense, really. Like, if they had gone like a half a mile either way, there's a bush line there and
yeah,
you wouldn't have to trample crop. And just being respectful, like closing gates. Like, you might not see the cows, but that doesn't mean they're not in there. So leaving a gate open can be like fairly detrimental, especially like when we're valley country, right? You get a herd of cattle running through the valley isn't exactly easy territory to get them.
No kidding. Aaron, yeah, Gurney's my guest from the farm here. Really quick, how is your crop situation looking other than what's been destroyed there? And hopefully the rest is looking all right. How are you feeling about this year's crop?
I know my husband is, like, he's feeling pretty good about it. Of course, like every other farmer, probably wishing for more rain, just timely rains, really, like canola's in flower right now. So other than that, things are looking pretty decent. You won't know until the grain's in the bin, though, right? So just praying Mother Nature cooperates with us and we have a good year. And to all the farmers out there, too, we wish the same.
Okay, well, so you're hoping for a little more rain in the next week or two. Yeah. Another farming friend of mine around Ogama said, okay, I just wanted to be sunny. It's pockets of rain all over this province right now, but each to their own. I hope you get what you're looking for, and most importantly, I hope that people learn from what you've shared here this morning. If you're on a side-by-side or an ATV, you don't go ripping through the crops. It's just a dumb move. But good reminder, and thanks for sharing this morning, Aaron.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.